And the family, we were on vacation for like 5 days, you know, this past week. And, you know, I actually told one of the brothers, oh, it's good. Yeah, I can kind of get away. I want to draw me closer to God, and I'm really getting the word. And it's funny. I remember when we first got there, I talked to the person at the front desk, and he found out that we were from town. And he says, oh, so you're here on a staycation. And it's the first time I heard of that word, staycation. I go, what did he say? And then I kind of realized, he said staycation. And then you kind of think about it, you realize what it means. You're staying here on the island. You're not leaving, but you're here just to get some R&R, rest and relaxation. But you know what? As I was doing my quiet time with the Lord, you know, I kind of realized the Lord spoke to me. So he said to me, Ben, you're here to draw closer to me? And he kind of reminded me, don't you know I'm always with you? And I kind of thought about that verse in Exodus 13, where God says, I will guide you with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I will never leave you. And sometimes, you know, most of us, we'll say that, right? We'll say, oh, I just need to get away. I want to draw closer to God. And God told me, hey, wherever you go, it's a matter of you just saying, I need you. Lord, I want to draw closer, and he's right there, and he's going to show his presence even stronger when you just come in that kind of heart. You don't have to get away. You just stay right where you are. Don't you realize every day when it concerns your spirituality, if you draw close to me, every day is a staycation. Every day we stay in the presence of God when we realize it's a matter of our heart just crying out to him. And that's what it's all about. Every day is a staycation. Can everyone say hallelujah to that?
Hallelujah.
And you realize, oh, his presence just gets stronger and stronger. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just take these opportunities just to draw even closer to you. When we come together like this, we know, Lord, you are pleased. And we just want to worship you from deep within our hearts. Because we know, Lord, when we sing from deep within our hearts, you inhabit our praises. And Father, we know, Lord, there's no greater joy than knowing that our Father God is pleased with how we're living our lives. Because, Lord, it's our lifestyle that truly reflects whether or not we really belong to you. Our lives have to show it. Our lives have to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, knowing, Lord, where you are, there is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. And Father God, your presence abounds in this very place. And we're so excited to see what you will do in this time, because we know, Lord, it's in your hands. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, knowing that you love us so much. We just want to just reflect that right back to you and say, Lord, we love you. And we just ask you, Lord, just to continue to fill our hearts, overflowing of your goodness as we come with a heart of total surrender to you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, first, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Lawrence. We know, Lord, his heart is ready. He's more than willing to preach your word because he knows this is his calling. And we know you have anointed him to preach the word mightily. So we're ready to receive from you this very hour, Lord. Oh, let the words that come out of his mouth be so anointed as we hear of them. Let it touch our hearts so deeply that we know we're going to be changed from glory to glory. We're going to be more like Jesus as we take in your words, as it is spoken to our brother. We give this time into your hands now, Lord. Oh, let your presence just fall upon our brother, upon all of us. Because, Lord, we are so hungry for your word. And we want to eat of your word, and we desire, Lord, to be more like Jesus. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
All right. How's everyone today?
Amen.
All right. Okay, let's start with my voice. Father God, just thank you for this awesome day, Father God. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. I pray that, Lord, You will just empty me, Lord, and just fill me up with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And let the word come up from you, Father God. And we can install it to resonate in the people's heart today. Help us to receive it, Lord. Receive the full portion of it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Praise you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Okay, you look at my notes, the notes that we have today. Right? The title is a little bit funny. It's egg, carrots, and coffee. You know when I told my kids, the egg, coffee, egg, carrots, and coffee, and then they said, how about sausage, bacon, and rice? No, not the same thing. So actually, that's a story that my wife shared with me a couple of weeks ago, and I would like to share it with you. It goes something like this. Okay, a young woman, she went to her mother and told her, you know, how things getting so hard. She was tired of struggling. It seems like every day there's problem. And when it's overcome, there's another problem arose. Life was just so hard, so difficult, so unfair. And she just wanted to just throw in the towel and call it quit. And her mother brought her into the kitchen. And she started putting pots, one, two, three pots onto the stove. And then she filled them up with water on each of the pots. For the first pot, she put an egg in there. Second pot, carrot. The last one, she put some coffee beans. Now she just turned on the stove and let it boil for 20 minutes or so. And then she turned off, fished out the first one, egg put it aside, fished out the carrot, and then she poured the coffee in a cup. And then she asked the daughter, so which one are you? You know, okay, three objects, put in the water, boiling water, same amount of time, and each of them, it reacts differently. Okay, let's talk about the egg, okay? In our life, when circumstances change to our disadvantage, do we do the egg thing? We have our soft, tender, loving heart, but we turn into a hard heart. Do we automatically like deploy our defense system? Do we try to protect ourselves by building wall, fences, or gates to protect whatever that we think that's important to us? Instead of loving and trusting others. You're like an egg in boiling water. The longer it stays in the water, the harder it gets. More gates, more built, more walls are built, and more fences are built. So some of you might think, so is it wrong to harden our heart? After all, we just want to protect us, protect our hearts. We don't want to get hurt again. We don't want to get humiliated again. Or just don't want to revisit that feeling, that bad feeling. Or try to avoid the situation. Remember what happened after 9/11. We locked down the airports. And nowadays, when you go catch a plane, what happened? We are being screened. No matter you are citizen of the United States, no matter you are young or old, no matter you are male or female, no matter you are rich or poor, we are being screened. We are treated like a potential terrorist, each one of us. They scan our luggage, they scan our carry-ons, they even scan our bodies. You know, remember a few years back when we went to Kauai, and my son was like 6 years old, and he was pat down. Do you guys still remember before 9/11, when we say, see our loved one or family or friends off in the airport? We can actually stay by the gate. And say goodbye to them, a last goodbye. Wish them well. Or give some last encouraging word before you take off. Or that last handshake. Or that last hug. The last human connection that we have with that person that may not happen for a long time. And that we don't do those anymore, right? We can do it. You don't let us. And those are the precious moments the enemy stole from us. We harden ourselves. But at what cost? Now, let's turn to the Word of God. And let's open up with the first verse that we have. You look at the notes. It's Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their hearts falls into trouble. So it sure sounds like hardened heart is bad news. Now, who is that one person in the Bible that associates him with hardened hearts the most? In fact, it was 19 times it was mentioned in the book of Exodus. Over and over again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Plague after plague, his heart was hardened. After the waters was changed into blood, frogs everywhere, lice throughout the land of Egypt, flies in their house, livestock disease, boils on their skin. And then here it happened. Exodus 10:7. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" See, when a person's heart is hardened, his judgment is clouded. The Pharaoh, he was rather to let his kingdom to be ruined, destroyed, than letting the Israelites go. Again, at what cost? You know, besides, when the heart is hardened, it feeds our pride and evil. Look at the next verse that I have, Exodus 8:6-10. Here is it. So Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magician did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come out of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifice to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your official and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in Nile." "Tomorrow," Pharaoh said. Moses replied, "It will be as you say, so that you may know there's no one like the Lord our God." Okay, now, put yourself in Pharaoh's shoes. Imagine frogs everywhere. On your dining table, in your bed, on your sink, or on your stove, or in your bathtub. And not only that, and they were croaking, jumping everywhere. Now, you told your people to bring in Moses to fix this. And Moses offered to pray to the Lord and just get rid of those things. Get rid of all the problems, all the chaos. Then he asked him, when you want it? Would you are in his shoe, would you say, "Now will be good"? I would. But what did Pharaoh answer Moses? He said, "Tomorrow." Remember, he was the Pharaoh. He can do pretty much whatever he tells people to do. Like, you do it now. You know? You know what I think? I think the Pharaoh is trying to save face. He wanted to protect his pride. He just wanted to show his desperation. Hardened heart beats pride. Now, another scenario I want to share with you is in the Bible. You may think, Christian, believer in Christ, we will not fall into the hardened heart trap. Or you may not consider yourself have a hardened heart. And I'm going to share this with you in Mark chapter 6. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them, now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed he was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marvel. Okay, let's stop here a moment. Let's analyze this. All right? So, Jesus made the disciples to go to the boat. Now, think about it now. Some of the disciples, they're actually fishermen. So, they know a thing or two about, you know, in the boat. Now, in the middle of the lake, they were struggling, rolling the boat against the wind, and probably tried to save their own life to get the boat into safety. And here came Jesus, walking on water. And they thought he was a ghost. Step on the boat, and the wind stopped. Now, if you were the disciples, what's in your mind? You're struggling, trying to save your life, and you see Jesus. You saw a ghost, but that was Jesus, walking on water. Stepping in, wind stopped. Would you be amazed? Would you be amazed? Or maybe even a little bit freaking out too? Yeah, don't answer me that. Next verse. Verse 52. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. What is that? What happened? What loaves? Now, let me read you five verses right before Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat. He said here, when he had taken the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Can you imagine that? Again, you are in the boat, one of the disciples at that time. So when did Jesus feed the 5,000 men? Was it like 5 years ago? 5 months ago? 5 days ago? It's only 5 verses ago. You look at the time, probably within the last 12 hours. They already witnessed one of the great miracles Jesus performed. And should they still be amazed? You know, have you experienced God's miracle in your life? When adversity came, do you worry about yourself out? Do you forget how the Lord helped you out in the past? With all said and done, were you still amazed how the Lord had pulled you out of the trouble you were in? And according to this verse, maybe we shouldn't be amazed. Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. So why? Why the disciples were amazed? Was it because the disciples, they didn't think it's possible for a person to walk on water? Or was it because it's not possible for a person to have the authority to calm the wind. You know, I think that's the reason why their mind and their heart will operate in the natural realm. See, when our heart is hardened, we are limited to what we know, what we see, what we hear, what we sense, what we are taught in this world. We are so reliant on this physical world that we became blind and spiritual. Look at the next verse. Matthew 13:15. For the heart of this people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Have you gotten sick, like have a headache? And you pray for healing. And when the prayer is not answered right away, what do we do? Well, maybe time for aspirin. If that doesn't work, maybe I should take a Tylenol or something. And if that doesn't work, maybe ibuprofen. Are we trusting the natural realm here over what the spiritual realm can offer us? Our heart hardened that impair our spiritual awareness. Do we see miracles of healing easier to occur in the third world countries? Could it be because the people there, they are not distracted by what they know, what they have, or what they can get? They simply lay down everything at the foot of the cross. Not like us. They don't have a plan B or plan C to fall back on. All they have is one plan. One plan. Not the Obamacare plan. Plan Jesus. Plan Jesus. Can we be like that? Yes, we can. Hold your thought on that. Okay, I'm going to quick recap on this. What's wrong with the ache? The hardened heart. Number one, defile our judgment. Number two, defeat our prior evil. Number three, impair our spiritual awareness. Okay, let's talk about the carrot. So after the carrot was boiled, what happened? It turned sour. Now, do we get beaten up when adversity comes? Once we were strong, and then passion hit us, turned soft? Are we tired of being struggling like the young woman that I talked about? Are we ready to throw in the towel and quit? Are we tapping out when we felt the situation that we are in is pinning us down on the floor? No, absolutely no. Okay, I'm going to talk to you guys about this one here. If you guys don't know, this one is Pioneer 10. I'm going to read you actually some facts about this. In 1972, NASA launched the Explorer space probe, Pioneer 10. The satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph it and its moon, and beam back to collect it about this giant planet back to Earth. So you can see Earth is there, Jupiter is over there. And they feared, actually, the asteroid belt that's before Jupiter would destroy the satellite before it even gets to Jupiter. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. Flying past Jupiter in November 1973, that's about a year after that, the space probe continued its incredible journey towards the edge of the solar system. At 1 billionth mile from the sun, Pioneer 10 passes Saturn, and some 2 billionth mile, the hurdle past the planet Uranus, then past Neptune. at nearly 3 billion miles, and Pluto, that actually not considered a planet anymore, at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 20 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the Sun. And despite that distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back the radio signal to the scientists on Earth. And here, the Time magazine editor, he comments on that. He said, perhaps most remarkable is the fact that those signals transmit from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight, and take more than 9 hours to reach the Earth. The little satellite that could was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of only 3 years, but it has kept going and going and going. This tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone could thought possible. See, we don't sell ourselves short. With the Lord, what you see is not only what you get. There's so much more. Don't forget the Lord has a plan for all of us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know this plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And we need to relentlessly hold on. Hold on to that hope. The next one I'm going to talk about, the coffee. So what happened to the coffee bean when it was boiled? It releases its aroma. It changes its surrounding. We need to be like coffee bean. When hardship comes, we not only overcome it, but we can take the opportunity to be the light for the others. So you may ask, so how do I do that? Number one, we praise, yes. Even though we feel disappointed, hurt, or just be depressed or oppressed, you think we have nothing to praise about. It's written here, Ecclesiastes 9:4. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. See, as long as we are living, we have hope in God. Count our blessing. We are living and breathing here. As a man, as a human being, not a goose or a moose. And by that alone, it's already a blessing. And we are the top of the food chain. We have given dominion over all the rest of the living thing on this earth. And you know what's the greatest blessing that we have? It's our Father God. He made himself known to us so that we can have a relationship with him. He is there when we are hurting. He is there for us when we are lost. He is there for us when we cried out for him. And after you experience that, his presence, his love, his power, everything else is not important anymore. Now, we have something to praise about, do we? Psalm 43:5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my Lord. See, when we praise God, we are not only giving glory to him. He helps us to take our mind off ourselves, off the situation we are in, and help us to put our focus back on him. Now, when I'm depressed or stressed out, I listen to worship music. I listen to praise songs. Sing along with it. It changes everything. It's like in the dark room. It shines the light in the dark. It changes you. It changes the people around you. It changes the environment. It changes your perception. It changes how you react to things differently. See, I used to have a food problem, excruciating pain, and it traveled from the jaw of my skull down to my neck. And when that happened, I sang praise songs. And the lyrics came out of my mouth. It's like casting the pain away. When I hear the lyrics, he helped me to put my eyes on him rather than the pain that I have. And you know, another thing, sometimes, when my wife and I have some misunderstanding, it doesn't happen too often, right? So instead of getting myself into more trouble by saying things I should not say, I do the same thing. I actually sing praise song. You know, I give glory to the Lord. And the Lord should help us to put our focus back on Him, rather than focusing the conflicts that we have. He softened our hearts. And that is the power of praising. And that's coffee. Number two, we praise. Now we fight. Okay, instead of like a hard-boiled egg, harden our heart, building up walls, gates, hiding whatever that's vulnerable behind locked doors, banging our heads on the wall, instead of getting beat up like a cooked carrot, instead of tapping out and surrender ourselves to an adversary, we rise up and fight. Here's how we do it. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapon we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish arguments and every pretension, and set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. And I want to draw your attention to the last part of it. Take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. Do we capture some thought, little thought? No, we don't. We are all in. We take captive every thought. We don't allow our thought to wander around. All things that is pleasing to the Lord. We need to flood our thought with God's presence. Submerge ourselves in the Word of God. And one way to do it is to read the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God is kind of like a walkie-talkie. Father God, I got a situation here. I don't know what to do. Help, Lord. Lord, get the help. My kid not listening. Should I smack them? Should I smack them twice? Lord, get your help making decisions. Should I do this or do that? Okay, all joke aside, this is real. Lord, I need you now. My sermon is only a few days away. If you want me to say something, better do it now. I don't want to stress out the pastor. I have to send him the note. Lord, help out. Lord, are you there, Lord? Stretch out sermon, calling the Lord. Almighty God, help. Are you there? Hello? Is on. Oh, over. We need to let go the top button. When we read the Word of God, we're taking or letting go of everything else. We focus ourselves to the Bible, the Word of God. Let go. All right? Amen. And the Word of God It's good for what? Teaching, rebuilding, and correction. That's the instruction. Lord will tell you how you handle your situation. The best way, His way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay. And the Word of God, what does it do? John 17, 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is true. Sanctify. Purify. The Word of God can purify us. It can purify. It can take away any junk that we have. Those thoughts that separate us from God are washed away. No more. We can connect directly to the Lord. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It frees us. It frees us from our hardened heart. It frees us from lies. It frees us from the boundaries of this natural world. And let us experience what God, our Father God, has in store for us. We can open up our spiritual eyes and see. We can open up our spiritual ears and hear. We don't get amazed by things happening in this natural world anymore. We expect supernatural. That's what we need to do. Third, so we praise, we fight, now we claim the victory. John 1:12. Yet, to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Brother and sister, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you, have you received Him?
Yes.
Yes. If your answer is yes and yes, congratulations. You are a child of the one true King. Being a child of King, what makes us? Prince or princess? This is the promise of God. And don't listen to the lies, deception, the enemy trying to pull you away. They're just trying to make us think less of ourselves. We are who we are. We are prince or princess, inside and out. But, we need to act like one. Even when hardship or adversity strikes, we hold our heads up high. Don't be afraid to put on your crown. Exercise your authority. Let your light shine, brother and sister. Our dad, He is the creator of the universe. As the scripture said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen to that. All right. Quick recap. How do we fight again? I mean, how do we become like coffee again?
Coffee.
We praise. We fight. We claim the victory. Okay, no more egg. No more carrot. Coffee. All right?
Coffee. Yeah. Coffee. Hey, coffee!
Coffee. Coffee.
Coffee for everybody.
And Pastor Ben is going to come up around.
Shaking, no, we won't be shaking. Whatever.
trust in you, and we won't be shaken. We will trust in you, we will not be moved. We will trust in you, yeah, we won't be shaken.
Corinthians 1:18, and it says, the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. And I love that verse, because when you first think about it, you're thinking, okay, who is it that is perishing? And first you think, okay, it's for those who don't believe in the word, who don't believe that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. But the Lord made it clear to me, it's not just for those who are unbelievers. It's also for those who believers, who believe that they are saved. Because they only believe it just because of the fact they may be only going to church on Sunday and think, okay, I'm a Christian. I remember I shared with you my testimony. I thought that just because I go to church and because I can speak Christianese, I can use the right words and say praise the Lord and hallelujah, but not live the lifestyle that God wants me to live, I am not truly saved. And you realize, yes, they are perishing also. Because you know what? Like our brother, what he shared with us, when the heart gets hard, it's a process where it gets worse. If you don't stop it in its track, you know, the devil, he knows exactly what your weaknesses are. And he's going to keep trying to get your heart so hard to the point where, you know what? You don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And we got to be careful of that, because, yeah, it's like that egg, you know, when it gets to that point where it gets harder and harder and harder, it's like the Lord was still trying to draw you close to him, but when it gets so hard, just like Pharaoh, you know, it's just like it gets to a point where the Lord knows, man, you know, it's almost like he has to make it so that he has to speed up the process, because your heart is not wanting to be softened anymore. It doesn't want to come back to the Lord. We got to be careful of that. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. And we are to make sure that our hearts are right. We always got to do a heart check, because we got to let the Holy Spirit probe into our hearts. And he will counsel us. He will show us things may be hidden there. You know, things may be trying to not show us the very fact that we may be struggling with sin or struggling with a hidden anger within ourselves, that is ready to just get to that point where it's so bad that we're going to walk away from God. And we must release it to God, amen? You got to be like coffee, like our brother said. I got to remember that. That's a good one, man. But we got to be willing to change. We got to be willing to say, Lord, I want to let the aroma of Christ come forth so that people around me, they will smell that aroma. They know that Christ is in me. I don't even have to say much. They will know that I belong to God, because they will partake of that aroma of Christ in us, because it's how we carry ourselves. We have that gentle spirit, that patient spirit, that kind spirit that shows people, hey, we are not of the world, but we truly are of Christ. Amen? And that's where, and we're going to be on staycation every day. I love that word. Ever since I heard that word, I've been using it a lot. And I got to tell you, cause who heard of that word staycation before? You guys heard of it? I guess somehow I'm kind of lost or not paying attention. But yeah, it's a neat word to use. Yeah, every day I'm on staycation with the Lord because I'm staying in the Word. I'm staying in the presence of God. I ain't going nowhere else but in the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message you have spoken to our brother Lawrence. And I thank you, Lord, knowing that your word gives us direction in life. And I praise you, Lord, knowing, Father, that we truly have to stay in your word. That we will not allow our hearts to be hardened because the devil, he's working overtime. He's working hard trying to draw us away from you. But, Father, as we put our hope and trust in you and as we commune with you, we know, Lord, our love for you will get even stronger and stronger and stronger as we continually look to you. And I pray, Father, will you just let your presence just come and fall upon your people right now? Let your Holy Spirit's presence just counsel us, speak to us, convict us of things we need to make right with you. And if you're saying right now, Pastor Ben, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And I realize maybe my life hasn't been going the way I want it to. And my heart may be getting hard right now because I'm not getting the answers that I want from the Lord. I'm not experiencing His presence like I want to experience it. I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, let your heart be softened to the point where you know the Lord. He says, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And I will replace it with a soft, supple heart, a heart that will truly make me first priority, that will truly make me who I want you to receive me as. And I just pray, Father, that as our hearts are softened before you, we're truly going to receive the blessings that you want us to have. And if you are saying, that's me, Pastor, I know my heart has been hardened, but I want to just release it to God and let Him just replace my heart with a soft, supple heart. If that's you, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Oh, Lord, come in. Take my hardened heart and make it soft. Make me a person who is truly reflective of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Keep your hands up and say, that's me, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. I need your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Father God, we truly need your help. Father, will you come in right now and just touch our hearts in a way that we know, Lord, we're going to let transformation begin. We're going to let your touch just come and just fill us overflowing of your goodness. And Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways, as we step out of this building, we know we're going to be totally refreshed. We're going to be renewed. We're going to be transformed. And the world will know that truly we belong to you. They will smell the sweet aroma of Christ as we live a life that is truly reflective of you. And thank you, Lord, knowing that your power is in us, because that's what your word tells us. For those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. And Lord, we need your power in us to make decisions in life that will truly honor you, will truly glorify your holy name. I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do, because I know, Lord, you're setting things in motion right now. Even as I speak, you're making things happen in all of our lives. We're going to see and experience the presence and the power of our living God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Father God. How do I get started? What do I do? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you are sincere about this prayer, know that our Father God He will come and He will show Himself strong in your life. As you make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I want to receive You. I want to make You first in my life. You know, the Bible tells us, if you are ashamed of God, He will be ashamed of you. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off another day, because a lot of times we think, oh, tomorrow, just like what Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And we know, as Elder Lawrence shared with us, that could be an issue with pride. And we don't want pride to come into our hearts at all. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you say yes to Christ. Today is the day you say, Lord, I'm living for You. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, oh, don't resist. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus Christ, you're ready to say, Lord, I surrender all to You. Can you raise your hand right now and say, Lord, that's me. I'm saying yes to You. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up. Say, yes, Lord. I'm saying yes to You. I come with a heart totally submitted to You. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. Praise Jesus. Just repeat after me. If you really want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, pray it from your heart. And He will come in. And your life will never be the same again. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need You. And I give You praise for who You are. I believe in You. And I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give You praise for that, Father. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But Your word says, if I confess of my sins, You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto You. So now I say this, so You can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for a moment. Father God, write my name in Your book of life, for I give You praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand.